right, all right. Everybody remember Mario Brothers? If you're over 35, you remember Mario Brothers. Exactly. Hey, I'm over 35 too. It was good to see everybody today. We are in our series entitled New Testament Challenge. So we have chosen the Mario theme to help us throughout this series. And really, this is the challenge. This is our summer series. And what we're challenging you is in reading the entire New Testament in June and July. So hopefully you're taking this challenge. Hopefully you're keeping up with us. We have a Facebook page on the New Testament Challenge. A lot of you guys have been going on there. You've been given some of the things that you felt like the Lord was speaking to you throughout the challenge. So let's complete this challenge. You know, one of the struggles that we hear that most believers have is I struggle with reading my Bible. This is why we are doing this challenge, because the Word of God will speak to you. And once it gets in you, it begins to change you. And it begins to draw you. You begin to hear it. You begin to develop a relationship with it. And you begin to miss it when you don't read it at times. And so hopefully we're all doing that. And what we're doing here on Sunday morning is we are preaching the major themes when you read the New Testament, when you read throughout the New Testament. And so one of those themes that we're going to be talking about today, being Father's Day, is fatherhood. So good to see you. My name is Lance. I serve as the lead pastor here if you're new with us today. We're going to be in 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, not Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, but 1 John, which is after Peter. 1 John chapter 2, we're going to read verses 20 through 25. The Bible says, but you have been anointed. That word anointed, we're going to talk a little bit about that later on in the message. By the Holy One, and you all have knowledge. He says, I write to you not because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and because no lie is of the truth. Who is the liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist, he who denies the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever confesses the Son has the Father also. Let what you heard from the beginning abide in you. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, then you too will abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he made to us, eternal life. Men, I want to be honest with you today. One of the things I really hope happens today is that I reach down inside of you and call out the greatness in you. Every man in this room, let me tell you, there is greatness inside of every single man. Every single man in this room, no matter what has happened in your past, no matter what is going on currently, there's greatness inside of you. But every man needs another man to reach down in there and call that thing out. So not only are we going to do that today, but also, men, I'm hoping to scare you a little bit. Now, when I talk about scaring you, what I'm talking about is not scaring you like going to a scary movie. I don't like scary movies, so I'm not going to talk to you, scare you like that. What I do want to do is I want you to really begin to understand the power that you have as a man, maybe you're a father, or maybe you're a husband, the power you have to do good, but also the power that you have to really do a lot of damage by the choices that you make. So this message today, ladies, hopefully it's okay. It's primarily to men. Ladies, is that okay with you today? Yes. All right, thank you, ladies. I need your permission because the men are going to be real quiet, so I need you to kind of encourage me today. I'm going to be punching on them, and so I need your help. All right, ladies? Yes. So you can just relax and enjoy the show. Men, if there ever was a message that you need to pay attention to, it's this message. So don't get up and get more coffee. You got enough coffee. Don't go use the restroom. Just hold it. You'll make it. Don't be looking on your phone, Ryan, and looking at the U.S. Open score. Focus. Now, if you want to tweet me or Facebook me, if you want to tweet or Facebook me, you can do that, men, what's on your phone. But let's really focus in, because I believe this message is going to change us as men. Now listen, men, I am your pastor, but also I'm a man just like you. I am a husband, and I have kids, five of them to be exact. I don't know what I was thinking, but I have five kids. And so please understand, as I'm talking today, I'm preaching also to myself. You know, when it comes to the world that we live in today, we live in a very chaotic world. And even when you boil that all down and look at our family, the family situation is a chaotic situation. And really, when we look at chaos as believers, what we tend to do, we tend to get very religious, And what we say when we see chaos is, we simply just need more Jesus. Listen, yes, we need more Jesus, but what we really need is Jesus living through men of God. That's what we need. We need men of God allowing this Jesus to live through them. That will change the chaos that families are experiencing. We think about Jesus. Jesus has done so much for us. He has given us His Word. He's died for us on the cross. He's given us of His Spirit. I mean, what else do we need, guys? He's done everything for us. All we simply need to do is surrender over to what Christ has done for us and allow this all-powerful Jesus to begin to live through us as men. And we do that, I promise you, men. Your family in this world will begin to change. And so, men, the answer to the problem that we have today, the chaos that we are facing, the answer is you and I. Now, ladies, you're also the answer. So please understand. But the problem is you haven't been the problem. You're not the problem, ladies. Come on, ladies, that's a chance for you to say amen. Ladies, don't miss your opportunity. You're not the problem. Men, we are the problem. Women throughout history have been stepping up and leading and serving God and being faithful, leading their homes because of the lack of manhood in the family. But what happens as men is we define greatness and success the wrong way. We tend to think that greatness and success is what kind of job I have, how much money I make. Those things are important, and we want those to happen as men. But true success, men, is how is your family? That's true greatness. True success is found starting right in the home. See, even when it comes to spiritual maturity, as men, we can tend to think that it's how much Bible I know, how much Bible I can quote, all important. But yet true spiritual maturity, men, is how you handle your relationships, starting with the relationships right at home. If you're married with your wife, if you have kids with your children. Now, if you're here today and you're a man and you don't have a wife or have kids, well, maybe someday that you will. So you need to focus in and pay attention to what we're talking about today. See, we have a problem, men. And what I want you to do today when it comes to this problem is not to continue to overlook this problem. What I want you to do is allow this problem to bother you. This problem that we have, it should bother us as men. So much so that it causes us to begin to go home and to begin to make changes to fix the problem, to make some adjustments. And our problem simply is this, men. Now, this problem really doesn't come because we have a bad heart. It comes from, and hear this, men, because you're often, again, I'm the same way, unaware of this problem. If you're married, your wife sees this problem, and if you have children that are older, they also see this problem. And this is our problem, men, is that we are simply not good at relationships. We're just not good. We are incompetent when it comes to relationships. See, I thought I was good at relationships. Then I got married. And I realized all my girlfriends lied to me the whole time. They just lied. Oh, Lance, you're so loving. You're this. Then I got married. And I realized, you are incompetent when it comes to relationships. I realized I had no clue how to love a woman. I had no clue how to care for her heart, care for her needs, because I was incompetent. See, men, what we tend to do is we tend to choose, and this is really a big word for us today, this word choose or choice. We have this problem because we choose, get this, to live within the boundaries of our competence. We tend as men to only live within the boundaries of the things that we are good at. This is why we like our job or like a hobby or other interests that we may have. We are good at non-relational things, therefore those are the things that we focus on. all along not knowing that our incompetence in dealing with relationship is destroying or damaging the people that we value the most. I'm not getting any amens, Pastor Richard. That's all right. And this is why. Because when it comes to a human heart, like a woman's or like a child's, they cannot be controlled or managed. And as men, we're afraid of things we cannot control and we cannot manage. It bothers us. It scares us because we're incompetent at it. Now, our jobs and our hobbies and the things we're interested in, man, that's easy. But non-relational tasks, relational tasks push us outside of our comfort zone. Listen, I'm going to bare my soul to you today so you can understand me that I'm in the same boat with you. My relationship with my wife, D, and my kids scare me to death. They challenge me. Because, and this really is the starting point for us breaking out of incompetency, is I don't know what to do. As a man, when you begin to make that statement, now our pride doesn't allow us to make that statement. We have to humble ourselves and say, you know what? I don't know what to do. I don't know the answer. I don't know what to do when my wife begins to cry. It scares me to death when my wife begins to cry because why? Her tears frighten me because I can't control it. I can't manage it. Her emotions begin to come and I don't know what to do. So what I usually get frustrated. Why are you crying? We don't need to cry about that. Look over here. Look what's going on over here. You know, I try to point to some other chaos or bad things happening in the world. At least we're not like that, but she's like, I don't care we're not like that. We're like this, and I don't like it. But her tears, they scare me. Why? Because I'm incompetent in dealing with her emotions. Then I chose to have 5 children. What was I thinking? Now I have 5 other little hearts, 5 other personalities, 5 other attitudes. And I realize I am incompetent in relationships. But the starting point, men, is to simply cry. I don't know what to do. I remember about 7 years ago, my wife and I just struggled in our marriage, and we just needed help. The pastor's here, thank God for them, but they wasn't enough. We needed more help on top of that. So we end up going to a Christian counselor. Now, ladies, if you don't know this, no man wants to go see a counselor. I mean, it's just awful. On top of that, it was a woman counselor. So here we are. We've gone a couple times, and we're sitting there in this session. And my wife begins to cry, and my reaction is to put my arm around her. And the counselor looks at me, and she says, Lance, she says, why do you put your arm around Deanna? And I thought to myself, I don't know, to comfort her, to make her feel secure. You know, I'm trying to come up with some real good answers so I can look good. She says, well, I want you to go home and I want you to pray and ask God, God, why do I put my arm around my wife? So the next day I went home, got up, prayed. I said, God, I know this is stupid, but she told me to ask, and I'm going to ask because she's going to ask me, did you do this? So God, why do I put my arm around D? And I'll never forget, God, I mean, it's like a bolt of lightning that hit me. And God basically said, he said, because you are afraid of her tears. See, here's what was happening. For me putting my arm around Deanna was I was trying to make sure that the emotions would not come out. I was trying to stop them. Oh, it's okay. No, it's all right. You don't have to cry about this. Because I was afraid, because I didn't know what to do and how to face what she was about to come out with. Because why? See, in that moment, I realized that Lance is a control freak. I want to manage everything in my life, make sure everything is in order, make sure everything's in control, And I don't want to deal with anything that causes me to feel incompetent. And so me putting my arm around her was me just trying to, hey, it's okay. You can be quiet. We don't have to cry about this. We can move on. And I begin to realize, this is not a man of God. This is not what a husband or a dad is supposed to be. And I begin to have to learn how to deal with a woman's heart, with a woman's emotions. Was I scared to death? You better believe it. See, what we hope happens, men, is our wife just forget about it. She forgets about it. Or maybe our children will forget. Well, I have learned that my wife, and especially my kids, they have a great memory. They are not going to forget about it. And more importantly, God's not going to forget about it. Because he wants to develop you into the man of God he's called you to be. He wants you to break out of what you're incompetent at and become competent at relationships, because that's where true success is found. True spiritual maturity and true success is found in how we handle relationships. So as men, what we have to do is we have to reject passivity. It's easy to be passive, just brush it under the rug. And we have to embrace responsibility. We have to step up. We have to step up as men and face our fears and face what we're incompetent at. Again, the problem is we only give ourselves to things that we can manage or control, things that we're good at. But men, amongst this challenging news, there's good news for us today. Y'all want some good news, men? Come on. Yes. The good news is this, is that when you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you enter into a relationship with someone that Jesus himself called God, our Father. Yes. Jesus introduces the God of heaven and earth as our Father. I'm telling you, men, this is a game changer for you and I. That God is our Father. Now, when you look at the Bible at first glance, you begin to see that there are no good examples in the Bible of fathers or husbands rejecting passivity and embracing responsibility. You would think they would be in there, wouldn't you? But there are none. What you see in the Bible is story after story of men failing in relationships. When you read it just a little bit closer, standing in the backdrop of men's failures, as fathers, as husbands, stands one, praise God, who is faithful, who is unchanging, and who is trustworthy. Man, that's God our Father. See, God is our Father. This is one of my favorite things to look at in the Bible. Because many times what we view God as is he's distant. He's way out there. And we begin to ask the question, how can this God who is way out there be engaged in my life? But the truth is yes, God is infinite, or he is transcendent, he is above his creation. But also the Bible says that he is our Father, meaning he is personal. And personal means that he is personable. See, God is infinite, meaning he is subject to no limitations. He is greater than anything that has been created. But this all-powerful, infinite God is also very personal to you and I, meaning that he interacts with us as a person. This is amazing. He is approachable as a father. A lot of times we can think God's like a watchmaker. A watchmaker builds the watch, he starts the watch, and then he steps back, never involved in the watch. God has created this world. He's creating you and I. But he not only is transcendent, he not only has stepped out. Guess what he did? He stepped into time and eternity. So much so that he stepped right in here, into your heart, as our Father. God being personal is one of the communicable attributes of God. Communicable simply means it's an attribute of God that we as his creation also possess. Again, how can I relate to God? He seems so far off. But the truth is, men, we have similarities to Father God because we are made in his image. Therefore, we have the ability, listen to this, you possess the ability to love, you possess the ability to be approachable, and even to be intimate when it comes to relationships. This is good news for us, that God the Father can break us out, men, of our incompetence. He can break us out. All we simply have to do is just ask. See, Father God means he is Daddy God. He's our dad. And he's waiting on you and I, men, to come to him and say, God, I simply need your help. But a lot of us as men, we like, God, does God know what's going on? Does he understand my situation? You know, last week, hopefully you guys were here last week. We had a pastor here last week, and his name is Michael. And Pastor Michael, he spoke and he moves in what's called the gift of prophecy, where he encourages people and he communicates, you know, I feel like the Lord's saying this. After the meeting, after this service, we went to lunch. Pastor Richard, Pastor Travis, and Pastor Michael, and as we were eating, I said, guys, I think I noticed that there was a gentleman in second service, and I saw him also in third service. And they begin to say, there wasn't anybody like that. No, Lance, you must have been seeing things. I'm like, whatever, I saw him. And so we come back after lunch, and we go upstairs, and this gentleman had shown up and came to Starting Point. And he began to tell us his story of what happened that morning. He came to second service, and as he was sitting in second service, and Pastor Michael was prophesying and talking to some people and praying for some people, he actually sat there in his chair because he had been around some of that before. And he said, God, he said, if you have something for me, he said, I want you to speak directly to me. He said, God, I'm going to stay third service. I'm going to stay for third service. If you have something for me, you'll speak directly to me. And wouldn't you know, as third service was about to close, he looks right at this guy and he says, points right at him, and he says to him, God, to you, friend, is lifting burdens off of you right now. I've been around this for a long time, and I am amazed every time this happens. See, we asked the question, God, do you answer prayers? You better believe he answered prayers. This man prayed a simple prayer, and God immediately in that next service spoke right to him and right to his situation. He's changed. I mean, fire. He was up there. He's like, there's a new fire in me, a new passion in me, because God's alive. He's our Father. He is real. Listen, even though he may seem distant from you men or women in this room, he's an infinite but yet personal, imminent God that's involved and engaged in our life. He knows what's going on. All we simply have to do is just talk to him. You know, one of the things I believe that we struggle with as men, and this is one of the abilities, there are attributes that we have that come from God being our Father, made in his image. See, a lot of us as men, one of the biggest things, and I'm sure you've heard if you're married, your wife say this, is that we struggle with communication. A lot of us as men, we're just silent. And our silence is very deadly, men, to our homes. But we're silent because we don't know what to say, because we feel incompetent. But one of the things that I can encourage you with today is that our God is a speaking God. This is what we see in the book of Genesis. When we open up the first chapter of the book of Genesis, what do we see? We see a God who is speaking, not a God who is silent. We see a God who was creating, and he created everything by speaking. He began to speak life. 10 times God said, and life began to come forth. And what's interesting about that is that God did all of his creating in the dark. That means, men, that you and I have the power to speak into dark situations. Whether it's our wife, whether it's our children, whatever our family may be going through, you have the ability and you possess the attribute to begin to speak life and call forth beauty into your home. Speaking to this God, he spoke into chaos and he brought forth order. And we possess the same ability, men. All we need to do is open up our mouth and begin to talk. And see the silence broken in our life. Will you say, Pastor Lance, I don't know what to say. Well, my response to you is, we better figure out what to say. Because if we don't, as men, figure out what to say, chaos will reign in our wife's heart and it will reign in our children's heart. And they'll never experience the order and the blessing of having a husband or a dad speak in to their situation. This is how serious this is. See, men, I've learned this from my wife. My wife is tired of me telling her I'm sorry. She has told me, Lance? And when she really wants to get to me, she calls me Pastor Lance. Pastor Lance, I don't want to hear you're sorry. I know you're sorry. She wants to hear, what are you sorry for? Why are you sorry, Lance? She wants me to open up my mouth and talk to her. And I can't use the excuse, I don't know what, I got to go find out what to say. I better go read a Hallmark card, memorize it, and go back and tell her. I better Google love quotes. I do it all the time. Copy, paste. Listen, she cares that I'm at least trying, making an effort. Come to me, I'll show you the website. She doesn't care if you copied it or got it from somebody else. She just wants to know you're trying. That's all she wants to know, that you're trying your best to open up your mouth and talk. Now, man, I know we struggle with this. Where does it come from? It comes from, really, us being passive, and we get it from Adam. I mean, here's what God created: order out of chaos, but two chapters later, didn't take very long, chaos shows back up on the scene. Here comes the enemy. Now, what's interesting about when you read Genesis chapter 3, first off, Genesis chapter 2, you see Adam being created, and then you see God bringing to Adam, this is very, we can't miss this. God brought to Adam the animals. He told Adam, Adam, I want you to name all the animals. And what's very interesting about that is God never helped him name the animals. He gave man the ability to speak and call forth life. Because he knew, again, I have created man in my image and he possesses the ability to speak and call forth order and to call forth life. I don't have to help him. But here comes chaos. So Adam began to speak, and what he named the animals, that was their name. Still to this day. But here comes chaos. Here comes the devil. And what's sad is that when the devil was talking to Eve, what is so sad is that Adam was standing there the entire time. And he chose, again, that word choice. He chose to remain silent. Eve should have never have been speaking to the devil. Not because she was incompetent. Ladies, we know you're competent at speaking. It's not because you're not incompetent at speaking. You're very competent. But it was Adam's responsibility to step up and speak because, listen, ladies, thank you so much for leading, especially you single ladies in here, you moms, single moms in here. Thank you for leading your home spiritually because you have got the role of being mama and daddy. We need to give our single moms a big hand clap. What a great job. Great job. But the truth is, that's not the way God designed it. It was Adam's job to step up and lead his home spiritually. If you're married and your wife is leading your home spiritually, she's tired of it. Man, it's our responsibility to lead our home. But Adam, what did he do? He chose to remain silent, step back, and allow chaos to destroy his family. He destroyed it. So Adam and his wife ended up living in a desert instead of the Garden of Eden because he refused to speak. He refused to. You and I, men. See, Adam was physically present. He was there the entire time. All he had to do was step up and say, devil, no, you're not. God said this is, we're serving God, get out. God gave him that ability, that power to speak. And the enemy would have obeyed him. He would have left. But yet, he chose, like a lot of men do, to be physically present, but yet emotionally absent when it comes to what we say. This is our responsibility, men. We're called to speak. We're designed by God to represent him in every situation. See, this is what 1 John 2:20, this is why it encourages us. Because he tells us, if you possess Jesus, you possess God the Father also. That means the Father comes, this speaking God comes to live on the inside of you. He tells us, men, we have been given an anointing. That word anointing, what does that mean? It means that word anointing or anointed means to break yokes. We have been given the ability by God to break yokes, to break bondages off of our life and off our family's life. And it happens through our words. As we trust in Jesus, as we digest this word, as we speak this word, it breaks stuff off of us. It breaks us out of incompetency. And it brings us into this life-giving relationship with God the Father, which always, when you have a life-giving relationship with Him, you're going to have a life-giving relationship with your family as well. This anointing, it's been given to you and I. See, but it takes us choosing to not just remain silent and step back, but Lord, I'm going to step forth and I'm going to be the image bearer of my Heavenly Father. God has called us to tell His story. This is what we do as men. Amen? Amen. So how do I do this? Because if you're like me, which most of you might be just like that, and say, Pastor, that's me, man. I mean, I feel incompetent. Or some of you just might be, we're just missing it. And we often miss things. Look, I miss a lot of stuff. And I don't realize the disorder or the chaos in my wife's heart and my children's heart because I'm not aware of it or I overlook it. So sometimes I just have to ask my wife, hey, honey, is everything all right? Do you think I'm all right with the kids? Is there anything going on I need to know? I know I have a tendency to miss things. How is it going? But how we do this, men, how we break out of this incompetence and how we see the silence broken is really simply this. Number one is we admit. We admit to God, God, I don't know what to do. See, what does that mean? And when we admit that, that means what? That pride has no place. That's humility speaking. God, I don't know what to do. God, I need your help. God, come. Help me, Lord. I don't want to be incompetent. I want to be competent when it comes to relationships. And number two, we surrender to Jesus. See, I struggle with this as well, so there's no condemnation for those that are in Christ. The process of God is we repent and follow Jesus by faith. Well, I've made mistakes. I've done this. We just repent and begin to follow Jesus by faith, trusting in Him. It means we surrender. And number three, Pastor Rich, you can come on up, is we feed on this word right here like never before. But see, what gives in here begins to come out of here. A lot of people come up to me, especially men, and say, I can't stop cussing. Well, it's a heart problem. It's not really a mouth problem. It's a heart problem. Because what's in here comes out right here. When this is in here, this is what begins to come out. You know, before Pastor Richard comes, and a lot of you guys know Pastor Ron, he's one of our pastors here. And Pastor Ron wasn't always a pastor. He used to be a country music singer. He used to travel around singing, making money that way. There was a time in his life where he was an adult. He actually didn't get saved until later on in his life, but he was serving at a church because his brother, before he was saved, his brother actually started a church and was pastoring a church. And because he knew how to play and sing, he would actually serve on the praise team, even though he wasn't born again. And one Sunday, he talks about how the service was closing, just like it is today. And the pastor came up and he was talking about, you know, giving your life to Jesus, come respond. And he said he was playing, you know how pastors get everybody up here playing, get the music just right. So he was playing and he looked up and he saw his 10-year-old son get out of his seat and begin to come down front and give his life to Jesus. And it hit him. My relationship with God is jacked up. I'm not right with God. I'm not serving God. And here's my 10-year-old boy giving his life to Jesus. And it broke him. He put down his guitar. He got around, walked around, stood right beside his son. And both of them on that day gave their life to Jesus. See, man, it starts with us. It starts with us. Pastor Richard.
It's so true. It does start with us. Just for a moment, could all of the fathers please stand up for a moment? I just want to ask you guys to stand up. Let's honor these fathers, these men that God have placed in our homes as a father. You guys just stay standing. I just want to briefly encourage you. I want to challenge you really briefly, and then I want to pray for you. Now, again, we thank all the single moms. One more hand for those single moms.
Good.
They've had to pull double duty. In my life, I had a single mom. But there's also a group of men that may be sitting that may not be fathers in the natural sense of the word, but there are men I know in my life that have maybe not had the same DNA as me, but I have called them father because of the roles that they played at different times in my life. So let's give them a hand as well. Now, Pastor Lance was so right when he said that God speaks and therefore we are created in his image and we are designed to speak as well. He's called us to speak to our wives. He's called us to speak to our children. And I believe that he's called us to speak to this world as well. You know, one of the things that David told us earlier during worship was that Jesus is called the chief cornerstone. But I had this interesting thought during the service that as a man, as a husband, as a father, you were kind of like a cornerstone in your home.
Yeah, good.
And the way that the cornerstone is designed is that all the other blocks are supposed to be formed out of the design of the cornerstone once it has been placed. But if the cornerstone is put in crooked, or if the cornerstone is fragile, or if the cornerstone is not put in the right alignment, the whole building is off kilter.
Very good.
That means that the whole family can be thrown off. And we know this, but some of us for personal experience, maybe even for generations, we can feel the ripple effect of a faulty cornerstone.
Very good. Very good.
But I believe God wants to come and correct that today as we lean into the chief cornerstone today. You know, many of you guys may have known that my dad had a stroke 2 years ago. And as a result, he was paralyzed on all of the right side of his body, and he was left with the inability to communicate. He can't speak. And to make matters worse, it's very frustrating for him, but it's also frustrating to me as I try to communicate back and forth with him. But how much worse is it to have the strength and the ability to speak, but as a man or as a husband or as a father, still remain silent in a world that wants to hear from you?
Good, good.
That still want, but it's because your words have power as a father. You know, one of the things, I have a 3-year-old son, and sometimes he'll wake up and he'll cry a little bit. And he'll say, "Daddy, I'm scared. Daddy, I'm scared. I can't sleep. I'm scared." Well, I don't just invite him into the bedroom with me and mommy. That would mess my game up, right? So I go upstairs and I put my hand on my little son's head.
There you go.
And I say, "God did not give you a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind." And I pray for my son. And I said, "You okay now?" He says, "Yes, Daddy." And he goes to sleep. It's because he believes in the words that I just spoke. But they're not my words. They're the words of my Heavenly Father. And sometimes we don't know the words to say because maybe we don't know what it means to be a father. Or maybe we didn't have a good example to be a father. But what we can do, and this is your challenge, we can take the word of God and we can begin to speak that in our homes. See, some of us, we don't know the right things to say in all situations. But there is one thing you can do. You can start today. You can go in your home. You can open up the Word of God. And you can begin to read it out loud to your children and to your wife. And watch God begin to change the atmosphere and the climate of your home. And start to realign things that have been falling out of alignment. Somebody say amen, amen to that. So that's your challenge, is to read the Bible out loud to your family as a husband, as a father, as a man of God. And I just want to pray for you. Father,
thank you, Lord.
You created us and gave us children. We were unprepared, especially when most of us standing up right now never really knew the definition of what it meant to be a man, let alone a father. And God, we are flawed and we have come up short again and again. And I want to just take a break just for a second. Some of you, when you heard the term father, it has a negative connotation attached to that word, because you may have had a bad earthly father, and as a result, there could be bitterness. There could be some unforgiveness that lies dormant in your soul that has affected how you see the world or how you see people. And I believe God has brought that to your mind today to give you an opportunity to forgive your earthly father today. My advice is to search your soul. And if you have anything against your father, whether he be alive or dead, it still has an effect on you today. And I believe that God will give you the grace and the strength to learn how to forgive your father. Somebody say amen to that. Amen. So, Father, we thank you for these men. And if you just stretch your hands out in the direction of these men standing. Father, we thank you, God, that you would give them the grace. You would give them the strength to wear the mantle of father. And as heavy as that mantle is, God, you would give us the mercy, God, to endure it. God, I pray that you would give them direction. I pray for supernatural wisdom when it comes to leading their homes, when they don't know what to do, when their wife is crying, when their children is crying, when the money is funny. God, I pray that you would give them the wisdom to lean on their heavenly Father, God. And I pray that there would be a faith and a boldness that comes from you that would rise up their soul, God, and you would lead these men as your word says. You said that the steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. So God, I pray in this moment, God, that all the men in this room, they would lean not into their own understanding, but in all their ways, they would put their trust, their faith, their decision-making abilities in your hands, God, God. You would be the one who blesses them. You would be the one who sees the victory in their life. In Jesus' name, and everybody said amen. Amen.
Yes, Lord.
Amen. If you guys could go ahead and stand up. For the rest of you guys, we want to pray and dismiss you and just